Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. So we thought we'd look at the first follower in the New Testament, and it was a fisherman. The second follower was a fisherman. The third follower was a fisherman. The fourth follower was a fisherman. Jesus Christ fed people three times, and He fed them fish all three times. The Last Supper was prepared by the disciples. That was obviously the Passover meal. So we've just been having, I just don't know how to explain it, what's been going on around here. And never have you seen such immediate feedback and feet to what's going on. And that's what we want to do. We don't want to just be hearers of the Word. We want to be doers. And I don't know about you, but I need preaching. Amen. I need my own preaching. I like all kinds of preaching. And so that's why we come together, because this world is not a friend of grace. And so we'll talk about fishing today. And maybe you're not saved here today. Maybe you're not in the boat. Maybe you don't know what this thing is to be made personally to you, His life for yours. And you can walk away here today knowing that. Knowing that heaven is your home. Knowing that Jesus is your Savior. I'm not talking about being a member of this church. I'm not talking about being like these people. We'll talk about that. I'm talking about believing in the Lord Jesus Christ from your heart and recognizing yourself a sinner and calling on Him for forgiveness, like so many did this very week. And then that's when the fun starts. Amen. Matthew chapter 4, verse 17. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent. That's the first word out of His mouth. That's a sorrow for sin. Now, there's repentance and there's works meet for repentance. You don't have to quit all your sin before you get saved. I go to the doctor when I'm sick, amen, not when I'm well. Well visits, that's just, they pad their pockets. Oh, I don't want to get these cheapskates going with these well visits. But anyways, let me repent. You're sorry. You realize what you are and who He is. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. Notice they were casting the net. And He saith unto them, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. And straightway they left their nets and followed Him. That's a whole sermon in itself, what your nets are. And going on from thence, He saw other two brethren, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets. Two guys are casting their nets. The other two fellows were mending their nets. And He called them, and they immediately left the ship and their father and followed Him. Father, we thank You for Your Word this morning. I pray You just expedite Your message into our hearts. Thank You for John's message this morning, Lord. It spoke to me. I'm grateful for it. Thank You for this group singing. Thank You for the praising God and all that's going on here, the wonderful family school. And Lord, we just acknowledge You. This world is on fire this morning. This world is in upheaval this morning. This world is in perilous times this morning. We just come like those Egyptians did. Those Israelis did in Egypt when it was the darkness was so dark it could be felt, and yet they had light in their dwelling place. So, Lord, we pray that You just enlighten our hearts this morning from Your holy, sweet, incorruptible Word. Make us better than we were yesterday, and we'll thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. You want to get the two previous messages? It's online. It's back there if you need that to catch up. I'm not going to review for sake of time. But I'll just add a few points this morning. Commercial fishermen prepare to fish. They prepare to fish. The number one fear of fishing is, I've never done it before. You see little kids, they see that worm and that hook and that slimy thing. They're not familiar with it. I don't know what I'm doing. In 1984, one of my last quests for peace, you know, was... before I found Jesus was the great outdoors, and I went out, and I didn't usually, even before I got saved, do anything halfway. It always had to be all the way. That's just the way I am. And I bought me a 17-foot open bow boat with a nice 90-horsepower Evinrude. We hadn't been married long. And I began, I think I bought that in the fall. And that winter I began to read about this lake fishing that we do. I began to prepare. I befriended other fishermen. One fellow by the name of Glenn Ruda. I got saved during that time. Meeting someone that was in a fishing derby that fished for me and caught me, and I caught this kid, Glenn Ruda, but that's another story. And we'd sit around the break table and we'd discuss fishing, and he'd tell me about fishing, and we'd read about fishing, and he'd teach me about fishing. And then when the spring broke, then we went out in the boat and I watched him fish and I listened to him. Paul put it this way: the things which ye have both heard and learned and seen in me do. So, and then we get along there, and with this fishing that we do, there's all kinds of cables and deep lead balls that get those lines down real low where the fish are at and real wide, all kinds of apparatus and stuff. And so I'd watch him and hook up these releases and put these downrigger balls and how to look at the fish finder and how to get the fish and what to do with the net. And then he began to tell me, okay, you go ahead and put that release, that thing on that release, and let the drag so it's just right. I was preparing to fish. Now, here's what you're going to find Jesus Christ did. In Matthew chapter 4, he said, "Follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men." Now, you familiar with the Bible. What happened in Matthew 5, 6, and 7? What do we call that? Sermon on the Mount. The first thing he did with those men that he was going to fish with is he took them apart and he taught them. He taught them. And then if you go, just flip in your Bibles, won't look at any specific verse. But then Matthew chapter 8, in 4 he called them. In Matthew 5, 6, and 7 he taught them. He got alone with them. They learned his heartbeat. They learned what it was about. They learned what he was here for. When he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes follow him. And look what happened right off the bat. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, "Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." And what you'll find is in Matthew chapter 8 and chapter 9, they watched him. He did the healing. He did the preaching. He did the work. Okay? So 5, 6, and 7, he taught them. 8 and 9, he took them. And then chapter 10, "And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits and to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease." And in verse 5, he said, "Now you go and do it. Now you go and fish." And 3.5 years later, he said, "See you later, guys. I'm going back to heaven. You go reach the world now." 3.5 years later, if you're serious, that's about how long it ought to take for you to be able to be ready to fish. You got to know your net if you're going to fish. Some of you sent me some YouTube things this week about commercial fishing. I was thinking about showing it. Probably a good decision we didn't, because we're late on time today. But you want to just see commercial fishing. Guys, I've been using that net for 30 years. That's my net. I made that net. They make those nets. They mend those nets. They know their equipment. They can feel those fish. You got to know your net. You got to know your net, because the greatest hindrance to fishing is, "I don't know what I'm doing. I don't want to touch it. I'm afraid. What if someone asks a question that I can't answer?" Let me give you a tip. After being saved for 28 years, a 14-year-old asked a question the other day that I couldn't answer. I don't care. I mean, I'm thinking, man, I'm Mr. Soul Winner, Mr. Pastor, 14-year-old kid. Hope to see the three things God hadn't seen. I open up the door. First thing God has seen, a person who's never sinned. He said, "Yes, he has." I said, "No, he hasn't." He said, "Jesus Christ never sinned." Just spoiled my whole plan. And I gave him 20 different answers that I wasn't even believing, let alone him. Now, don't change the plan here, because not too many. God just, I needed that. Amen. You know what church time is? Church time isn't fishing time. Church time is net mending time. You know what the Bible Institute is? The Bible Institute isn't fishing time. The Bible Institute is where you get to learn your net. You got to prepare. prayer time and quiet time is not fishing time. You're not fulfilling the will of God for your life because you pray and read your Bible. That's just getting ready for you to fish. Commercial fishermen are prepared. With that said, the best preparation for fishing is fishing. Because you can read and you can study and you can have all the angles and know, you know, those guys go to school. I think one of our guys went to construction school, went to college to learn construction. There's a whole other a lot of guys just went and did construction. Amen. Commercial fishermen prepare to fish. Are you prepared? Number two, take your Bibles and turn to Habakkuk. Remember, we did that the other day. It's in the Habakkuk of the Old Testament. And I think it goes, if you know the last four, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi, then before that is Habakkuk. Habakkuk chapter 1. Commercial fishermen prepare to catch fish. And I'll read Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 15. If you're not there yet, just look on your wife. She had it by now because she probably read her Bible more than you. Anyways, let's back up to 14. And makest men as the fishes of the sea, as the creeping things that have no ruler over them. They take up all of them with the angle. That's the hook. They catch them in their net and gather them in their drag. Here's what commercial fishermen know. There's different kinds of fishing. There's different kinds of fishing. You got a hook there. You got probably a gill net there. You got a drag net there. There's net fishing. There's ice fishing. There's trapping the lobsters. There's trolling. There's snagging. There's still fishing, jigging, lures, live bait, flies, bamboo poles, fiberglass poles, carbon poles, and smelting. You ever been smelting? I was with my friend Glenn one day, and they come in, they said, the smelt are running. Now, I like smelt. We came up, my father-in-law made smelt every Christmas Eve all those years, and he'd butterfly those things, and delicious. I said, man, I like smelt. And so I told my friend Glenn, I said, what do I have to have? He said, you have to have a pair of waders, you have to have a net, and you have to have a drywall bucket, a clean drywall bucket. And so I quick run home because I'm going to get me some smelt. Why do it halfway? And I got my net and I got my waders on, and I went right down. We lived right around the corner there from Russell Station. Went down there, and I mean the place is packed. And I walked up there and I got my bucket and I got my net and I get to the edge. I never had a fishing like this, almost like what happened this week. And the guy said, give me your bucket. And I give him the bucket, and he handed me a bucket. He said, here you go. I never had to dip my net. I walked away with 5 gallons of smelt. And then I had to go home and clean them. I'll go to Wegmans. I never wanted to see another smelt as long as I lived. There's different kinds of fishing. I saw Jesus fishing on a hillside with 5,000 plus people. And then I see him walking down the street, and there was a little midget sitting up in a tree. And he said, hey, let's go to lunch. Sometime you're going to give it to the multitude. Sometime you're going to fish just for one. I've seen him preach on the street the last day of the great feast. He said, if any thirst, he preached to the multitudes, and I saw him visiting the bedsides of the afflicted. I saw him feed people sometimes along with the message, and then I seen him scathe people sometimes along with the message. But I'll tell you what all his messages had in common. He was the centerpiece of the message. Jesus Christ was the centerpiece of the message. Be creative. Understanding that there's different kinds of fishing. You don't despise the other guy. I don't know why they still fish. Well, I don't know why they troll fish. Well, I don't fish that way. Well, so what, man? The idea is to catch fish. But don't stray too far from Jesus being the centerpiece. Or you'll end up like the Salvation Army ended up. They started out marching down the street with uniforms on preaching the gospel. Now, what do you think of when you think of the Salvation Army? Stay seated, lady. I think they're closed on Sunday. Just easy. You say, preacher, do you believe in diversity? Absolutely. Evangelical diversity. We've knocked on doors. We've held signs on the streets. We've preached on the streets. At one time, we had a mail order correspondence Bible course. Remember that? We must have handed out 5,000 of those things. I think we got three people that were already saved. We've had community concerts, a Christmas concert, a 9/11 memorial service concert. That's the day my dad walked down the aisle. Brother Jay and I had the church in the inner city. We actually had a community street cleanup. Hey, we're going to clean your streets. You want to join us? We got hot dogs and potato chips to boot. Sure. They came for the hot dogs and potato chips. We cleaned up the streets, but they got the gospel. Amen. We had a clothes giveaway. We had our big church out there in Greece, and we said, hey, if you can bring some clothes in a garbage bag, something that's decent, and we filled up them clothes, we advertised, we flyered that place. Free clothes, free clothes, free clothes. After you sit through a message, and we give them the gospel. We don't want to stray too far from the message. This late thing was the display at the fair. I saw that there was going to be the county fair was going to be just 4 miles up the road. And I know my friend Mike Gibson, who used to be a missionary in St. Lucia, was doing that, going around. And I remembered briefly this display that he had. And I started to inquire. Of course, you inquire, that means Google these days. You don't have to call nobody. You don't have to wonder. We just Google it, man. Google. Any question you have, be careful now. You know, my friend in jail told me this week, this is a sideline. Don't let me forget where I was. Where was I? He said in prison, you get a ticket. You get a ticket for reckless eyeballs, they call it. He said, if there is a woman jailkeeper, if there is a woman in an office, if there is a woman and you look at her too long, you get a tier 2 ticket. You will lose your commissary. You will be charged $5. You will lose your recreation. You will lose your phone. You will lose your packages for up to 30 days. The second time you go to solitary confinement. You drag your pants like they do. Tier 2 ticket. You take your shirt off around a woman. Tier 2 ticket. And all we're saying, just put some clothes on and cover up, even in the summertime. We're just trying to treat you like some jailbirds. We're not being too fussy. Amen. Okay, let me see where I was. Where? Huh? I can't hear you. Huh? Oh, I was inquiring about display. Back on. I told my wife I'm to the point where I'm going, just fill the word in for me, man, so I can keep talking. Amen? I inquired about that sign and Googled it and all that. And next thing I was running it by Tom Smith. And this is... We're talking 3 weeks ago now. Tom Smith said, Ted Snyder left one of those displays here when he left for... I said, you're kidding me. Where is it? It's right in here. And away we went. Are you glad we tried something new? Are you glad we tried a different kind of fishing? Listen, do what God's called you to do. Don't be quick to judge what others do. Be open to fish a different way. If the fish maybe aren't biting where you're at. Understand different fish bite on different bait. Get a load of this revelation. Fish don't always bite just because they're hungry when they're feeding. They bite out of reflex. They bite out of anger. You ever preach to somebody that got angry and later they got saved? I've seen them out on those streets just be in a rage. And by the time you're done, they got a tear coming down their eye, dumping their beer out, saying, I'm getting out. I met a girl in California one time. We were preaching on the street. She came up all mean and mad. Easy, easy. We're at a parade. We're having a party. Why are you getting so mad? That'll take the edge off right there. And they say, well, you're not, that guy just over there, he said this. I said, well, I won't say that. Will you listen to me? No. Hypocrite. This girl, she ended up telling me she's a preacher's daughter. This day, you got to, and it was San Francisco to boot, so I got to really clarify. Say, go home and tell your father today that God answered his prayer and sent you a preacher. Man, that girl was sobbing that day. Sometimes they strike out of anger. Sometimes it's when they're spawning and they're in their territory. Hey, you know what? Some people want to better their life, better their relationships, better their families. What is it? You'd be surprised the way they... Competitive instinct. So you got a bunch of fish in there in a school and one snapping. So, of course, if you do lake fishing, the sweet, sweet sound is double, triple, fish on, you got three times. Man, they're all hitting at one. You get one. It's like being at a buffet. You ever see big people at a buffet? Oh, I could just spend all day at a buffet just watching people, of course. They get like in a panic, you know? Hurry up. It's going to go. They got steam clams over here. And that's how the fish are. They get this competitive instinct. You know what we saw this week? We saw young people. Someone said, well, did they all get saved together? Yeah, some people, I'm not going to get saved too. See, it's a competitive instinct. I'm saying try to be open to different kinds of fishing. What else? Curiosity. Curiosity killed the fish. Amen. What's going on at that place? Bob Norman, I'm sure he thought, man, this is my territory. What's this church doing on my street? And come down. And then, of course, you've got killer instinct. Daily, prepare your net. Walk with God. And you're going to have to jig for one. You might have to snag another. You might have to woo another. You might have to trap another. All the fish bite on different bait. Got it? What does God want you to do? Okay, 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Second Timothy 2. 1 Corinthians 9. It's easier to find than Habakkuk, isn't it? Okay, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, as like an athlete, yet he is not crowned except he strive lawfully. In other words, you can't do like the lady did in the New York Marathon a few years ago and just sort of step in at 20 miles and finish while I cross the finish line. No, you have to strive lawfully. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 19. The Apostle Paul speaking, he's talking about getting into people's lives and winning people to the truth of the gospel and getting them saved, getting them to know for sure that their sins are forgiven, that there's a purpose for this life more than just try to get by. For verse 19, though I be free from all men, yet I have made myself the servant unto all that I might gain the more. Unto the Jews I became as a Jew that I might gain the Jews. Now, if you study the life of the Apostle Paul, what you'll find is the Apostle Paul, who was a Jew, he'd go to the synagogues often, he'd go to the feasts often, and he'd say, hey, hi everybody, I'm a Jew too. Remember our father Abraham, and remember Moses, and remember the way Joshua, and in every single case, every single time he preached to a bunch of Jews, he took advantage of his heritage of being a Jew to get them to listen to what he was doing. Here's what he didn't do. He didn't commit idolatry the way Jews committed idolatry. He didn't become a Jew that way. Okay? Then he says this. Watch. Then there was another group of people, the Gentiles. Verse 20. Jews I became as a Jew that I might gain the Jew. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. That's a Jew. To them that are without law, these are the Gentiles. They never got the Ten Commandments. As without law. So I'm getting under these Ten Commandment law Biden type. Oh yeah, I was that religion before. Yes, I understand. Now he's with guys without the law. Watch what it says. being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain that. Here's my point. There's different kinds of fishing, but you've got to still fish by the rules. You've got to fish by the rules. Around here, you can use a net when they get to the boat, but you just can't go out there in that lake and throw a gill net out and pull them in the next morning. You just can't drag a net. You can't use dynamite. You have to strive lawfully. You have to fish lawfully. Some of you remember Uzzah in the Old Testament. They were walking along and they had the Ark of the Covenant on a new cart. And that was their first mistake. And that thing stumbled and it was going to fall over. And Uzzah touched it. You couldn't touch the ark. And I'm glad God doesn't operate like that this day and age. Killed him right on the spot. And he says there was a breach there. And David was afraid that day. And God said, because you didn't seek me after the due order. Listen, there's places in the Bible where God says, I don't like your solemn assemblies. I don't like your vials. I don't like your feast days. Away with it. I will not hear it because it wasn't the way God liked it. Now, let me just bring it down to our level where we can help and understand. My children, they stained the deck this week. I was doing a lot of fishing this week. Here's the cans. I want you to go and stain. Now, they didn't just take those deck, that stain, and just splash it all over. Well, it's stained. Yeah, but so was the dog, the cat, the bushes, the car, the pool, etc., etc. Not the way I wanted it done. You've got to realize that there's more than one way to fish. Everybody's got different gifts, but you've got to fish by the rules. Doing whatever it takes to win souls because God loves souls is no more scriptural than doing whatever to bring babies into this world because God loves babies. It's after the due order. First comes love, then comes marriage, then comes the baby in the baby carriage, or at least that's the way it used to be. Listen, fishermen and hunters are tempted to cheat. You say, preacher, did you... You know, there's rules. Like when you hunt, you can't... They say you can't shoot before first light. That's not true. Man, that moon throws all kinds of light when it's full. You can't shoot before the chart says the sun rises at this time. You say, did you ever shoot, even though it was light out, before the sun rose on the chart? I don't want to spoil the message here, so we'll just move on. But there's rules. There's rules. There's tags. Look at, if you got deer in your backyard, back there and shoot that deer and get that thing in and skin it and put that thing in the freezer and bury that and have that tag and never use that tag. You're only supposed to get like so many. You get all you want. You know what the temptation is for hunters and for fishermen? The temptation is to cheat. Because it's easier. You go out deer at night, they call it poaching. If you shine a light on a deer at night, they freeze. Now, some of you would be able to hit them better, right? When they're not on a full run. You go out there with a little silencer at night, and you just get all the deer you want. You know what the trouble is with that? It's cheating. It's cheating. You got limits. You got rules. You got areas. You can't. You can snag on very few. You just can't take no big old treble hook and just start. What in the world is this man doing? I'll tell you this funny story. It was, I think John was there, and Johnny and Ron and my son, and they were snagging, which is legal where they were. And man, it was line to line people there catching these big salmon in Oak Orchard or one of the. And all of a sudden, everybody just went home. It was kind of getting dusk, and they thought, man, this is beautiful. Spread out. We're really starting to land them now. And all of a sudden, everybody's gone. It's just them. Whoa, praise the Lord. All of a sudden, the guy with a green outfit was coming down the thing there. What you guys doing? Fishing. We're killing them. You can't fish for these at night. You can't? Man, I think he let him go, but ignorance used for the law. Listen, you got to fish by the rules. You got to fish by the rules. I don't want to lose my place here. I'm not going to sin to win you to Christ. I don't have to. It may seem easier. It may seem if I get down and just sin with you a little bit, it may seem that it'd just be easier to get into your life, but that is not what Jesus did. He didn't sin, thank God, to win anybody. Duties don't conflict. If God said, go to catch men, preach the gospel to every creature, he that winneth souls is wise, said, be ye holy, for I am holy, they don't conflict, thank God. We can do both without having to try to figure out some dirty scheme that's tainted the church of Jesus Christ. Holiness, listen, the one that said, come out from among them and be ye separate and touch not the unclean thing and I'll receive you, saith the Lord, was guilty of sitting with publicans and sinners. Duties don't conflict. You fish any way you can get them in, except you don't break the rules. Holiness doesn't hinder the gospel. Holiness adorns the gospel according to the Bible. You're going to let your light so shine before men that they'll see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. It says over there, a woman that hath an unbelieving husband is won by the chaste conversation of the wife. Not by sinning with him, but by living godly and holy. Don't go outside the rules. Listen, if you're here, I don't want... And here's what we do. Jesus was not a maniac, but he won maniacs. Jesus was not a whoremonger, but he won whores. Jesus was not an idolater or a murderer or a sinner, but as clean and holy as he was, he won those people. He didn't have to stoop to win them, and you don't either. You don't either. Here's what we do as usual. We overreact. We overreact. Now, there's a segment of so-called Christendom that said, you have to be a good, like Santa Claus religion, we call it. You have to be a very good person if you want to be saved and go to heaven. You better watch out. You better not pout. You better not cry. I'm telling you why, because Jesus is coming one day, and your good better outweigh your bad. That's got nothing to do with salvation in the Bible. Your one sin can never be washed away by a life of goodness. Now, I know that doesn't make sense to us, but His ways are above our ways. His thoughts are above our thoughts. You can join every church in town. You can turn over a new leaf. You can quit smoking, drinking, swearing, all this stuff that we do. And you know what? You'll still go to hell without Jesus Christ. So we don't ever want to confuse a works salvation with a lifestyle. Okay? But, the modern church has sort of thought, you know, this lifestyle is sort of a hindrance to people thinking, if I'm going to be saved, I got to be like this McCracken family. I got to have this lifestyle if I'm going to be saved. That's not true. You don't go on his lifestyle. You go on his lifestyle. You base your salvation on his lifestyle. He may not look it, but Eric's a sinner. She may not look it, but Vicky's a sinner. Sinners, I'm saying, but Jesus Christ didn't sin. The only way you're going to get in is to go through Jesus Christ. We don't ever want to confuse that. But with that, let me say this. We've taken Jesus and we put him in a package that's never satisfied. Rock and roll didn't satisfy you. Being cool didn't satisfy you, or you would have never came to Christ. You know, listen, I'm not going to dance with you, drink with you, smoke with you. I'm not going to go to there's a church meeting right now in Buffalo on Pearl Street called Church on Tap. Let's sit around and have a few cold ones and talk about Jesus. I had enough cold ones. It didn't satisfy. It didn't fill the longing of my soul. I didn't want rock and roll. I wanted the rock. I wanted the rock, Jesus Christ. I didn't want to drink that stuff no more. I wanted the drink of the living waters. I love God too much and I wouldn't do you the disservice of hiding the blessedness, and I'm going to take a big chance here, of holy living. I'm going to be very careful, but I'm going to shock you because this is not a Baptist message. Jesus' message was not all about going to heaven. Don't confuse getting saved. He did it all. We do nothing but repent and believe. But His message was not all about dying and going up there. His message was receive Him and be able to live down here. Go to Luke chapter 4. Man, we're running scared trying to hide our cruel. We don't want them to think that they have to be like us. I told this girl in Subway the other day, I said, there's a lot of young people your age. I said, you know the best kind of living is clean living. And she said, I know that. I know that. Luke chapter 4, watch Jesus' message. Luke chapter 4, verse 18. Jesus speaking, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me, one, to preach the gospel to the poor. Preach the gospel. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ is what saves your soul and nothing more. And, watch it, He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Let me tell you something. Jesus won't just forgive your sin. You got a broken heart today? Nothing like it. Ritalin and Percocet and Oxycontin and all that stuff ain't got nothing on the gospel. He will heal your skin, take you to heaven. Watch. Luke 4:18. I'm not ashamed of that. To preach deliverance to the captives. Are you captive today? I was visiting that jail the other day. That young man said, I feel more free in here than I felt on the outside. One of the guys said, why are you smiling? He said, I'm just reading in this book and I just can't believe it. Some of y'all were captive to the nut house. And He set the captive free, and He's taking you to heaven. Some of you are captive to suicidal thoughts, and some of you are captive to wickedness and bad, broken relationship, and just in a heap of trouble. Jesus comes, doesn't just save your soul, but saves your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. To recover and recovering sight to the blind. And to set at liberty them that are bruised. I talked to our in-house statistician here. I said, Charlie, I want you to add up in this church how many cumulative years of people being saved is in here. He'd been saved 25 years. She'd been saved 2 years. She'd been saved 4 years. She'd been saved 30 years. What's the number, Charlie? 4,700 cumulative years of salvation in this room right now. And we haven't spent 1 second in heaven yet. Everything we got in this 4,700 cumulative years, the party's just getting started. See what I'm saying? It ain't all about dying, brethren. It's about living. And if we're going to fish and fish by the rules, we're not going to do nothing to salvation, but we are not going to disguise holy living as good living. Clean living is right living. You want help with your relationships? Get saved. I'm not guaranteed. I told Brother Sirk, if he wasn't so old and I wasn't so old, I'd have him get up here, that big monster, and just, you're still going to have storms, you're still going to have trials, you're still going to have temptation, but if I could get that big goon up here, I'd have him pick me right up and just carry me like this through all of it. That's what you get when you get saved. He's not necessarily going to mend every single relationship, but you'll have an owner's manual that'll help you to raise your kids, help you to walk with your God, help you to love your wife, help you to submit to your husband, help you to get through this insane asylum run by the inmates. Salvation isn't all about dying and going to heaven. It's about living on earth. The modern church architects have made everything about the destiny later, where we're going later. We don't ever want to confuse it. But don't rob anybody of a better life. Don't ever apologize for what God has showed you for holy living in His Word. Now, watch this. Isaiah 118, Psalm 12. This is a nice one. Now, you didn't let me get up here till late. What time is it? Oh, well, we'll be all right. Isaiah 118. If you're not saved here today, I hope you, by the time I'm done, you're ready just to jump in the boat. And if you've never dropped a line in the water, watch this. Isaiah 118. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be what? White as snow. That means if you're forgiven, you're white. Okay? You're in the, what, like you see that wonderful snow that we have up here in upstate New York in the winter, and I just got to keep telling myself it's a good thing. It's a good thing because it's reminding me that under there is those bugs and under there is that mud and under there is those rocks and all that, and it's just blanketed like a white as snow. Though your sins be as scarlet, they should be white as snow. Now watch, go to Psalm chapter 12. Psalm chapter 12. And I'll show you the combination for fishing. Psalm chapter 12, verse 6. The words of the Lord are pure words as, say it, silver. So you're likened to white if you're saved and forgiven. The Word of God is likened to silver. Now, I talked to my friend Carl Bish. Captain Carl with Salmo Charters and a Christian man. And I said, what percentage of the lures that you're using out here are silver? He said, well, we catch 75% of our fish on spoons. You got spoons, which looks like a spoon. And then you got what they call stick bait. It looks like a little fish or a piece of wood, and it's got hooked. 75% of what we catch are on spoons. 90% of those spoons have silver on them. All lures, the hooks, are silver. And here's what he said. The silver fluoresces the white. Fluoresces. That's a fluorescent light. You know what fluoresce means? Fluoresce means a flower to bloom. You want to make sure that your fishing and your witness isn't all about you. You incorporate the Word of God in your witness. You want to get the Bible open when you can. You want to get the light off of you, if you will, as much as you possibly can, because it's the silver of the Word of God. All the hooks are silver. The hook is what's going to get them. All that thing does is it just, when we're living right, when we're living clean, it fluoresces, it brightens us up. If you're here and you're not saved, don't confuse my lifestyle with salvation. You go to heaven based on His lifestyle, but don't miss this. Jesus Christ is so much more than just a ticket to heaven. He's a ticket to living. I come that you might have life here, now, and that more abundantly. I'll say this real quick because I got it late. Fishing stories get old. The best fishing stories are the most recent ones. You heard some fishing stories this morning. Now imagine 7 years from now, and I'm an old man, and Pastor Folk is an older man, and who was running around? Johnny's a married man, and I say, Johnny, get that mic and run around to some of these things. And Jesse, who married man with 5 kids, and Dan's an old grandpa by then, and Jesse said, oh, I remember in the Orleans County Fair in 2014, and I went, we don't want to hear that old fishing story. We like to glory. Let me tell you about what I did when I was. People don't want to hear that. They don't want to see lures. They want to see fish. Fish is best when it's fresh. Here's what I'm saying. Go get another fish. Don't glory in all that we did last week. Get another fish this week. Some of you caught it. You ought to have we call it the itch. You ought to have the itch now. You got the bug. You just want to go back and get another one. I want to get another one. I'm not satisfied with what I had. Lastly, fishing wears you out. All the people that worked with me said, amen. It's the only game sport where your world is literally rocking. You get up real early or you fish all night. There's not a lot happening at 2 o'clock in the day when the lazy people get up. Fishermen need to get up early. In fact, it's so tiring, that's why I got rid of my boat. My friend told his son, who was talking about buying a boat, he said, son, before you go buy a boat, I want to give you some wisdom. He said, go to the bank, withdraw a stack of $50 bills, pull the drain out of the shower, turn the shower on, take those $50 bills, and just start stuffing them down the drain, because that's what it's going to be like when you own a boat. Amen. Especially around here. You can use it 3 whole months of the year, and every other day it's lightning and thunder, and you can't even use that. And so I'd be buying stuff all week long. I mean, I get about $8, $9 for those lures now. Getting ready the night before, get out of work Friday. We're going to go Saturday. I got my downrigger set. I got my new paper on my fish finder. I got my poles in place. I got the hitch. It's all right. Now, are the signals lights working? Do I got my license? Do I have the cushions in case there's a Coast Guard investigation? And I got all these things in place. Of course, you can't sleep at night if you really love fishing. You just toss and turn. You don't want to miss the alarm. The guys are going to be there. And you go out there, and man, if that water kicks up a little bit, you're moving, you're focused, you're a little bit tense. You want to catch those fish. You don't want them to get away. The clouds are moving on the horizon. I got caught in the fog one time. It's the first time I'd never used a compass. It was early on, and I swear that thing would say this way. I said, I got to get back to that shore, and I turn, and that compass would say I'm going the other way. Okay, I'll turn this way in a compass. And I was just getting worse, and I was getting scared, and I was panicking. And that stuff's going around like this. It's the only sport you get back on land, and you're still going like this. And then we get back, and now you've got to clean the fish. Yahoo! I know I've said it before, but these fish out in this lake, you take them, take a board, fillet these fish, put them on the board, garlic powder, onion powder, salt, pepper. Put the board in the oven, 15 minutes at 350, take them out, throw the fish away, eat the board. Because they just... And then it's 2 o'clock, and everybody says, see ya! You're the guy with the boat. You're the guy who made all the investment. And you got eyes as black as frying pans, and you're exhausted, and you smell like fish, and they all just go back to their place. And now you're putting the tarp back on the boat. You're breaking everything down. You're wrapping up the fish. And you are shot. And then your wife says, you know, the grass is a foot long. You ain't been home in a week. You've been fishing. Fishing will wear you out. John chapter... John chapter 21, verse 1. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. That's where he started and where he ended. And on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon, Peter, and Thomas called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana, and Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing, they. So it wasn't just those four. Look at, we go also with thee. They went forth, entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. When the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but his disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus came, saith unto them, children, have ye any meat? How's the fishing? Catching anything? They biting? They answered him, nope. And he said unto them, cast thy net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. Fishermen, they'll try it. If you're into fishing, hey, try this three things God's never seen. Okay. Hey, try this blue and chartreuse with the silver. Okay. You caught one out. You ever see that? Poor little kid catches a fish, and he turns back to take the fish off, and all the other kids come right to his hole. Watch. Maybe any meat? No. And he said, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Every once in a while he gets hit them, man. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved, that's going to be John, saith unto Peter, it is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter, I don't understand this scripture, I couldn't expound it, I can't make any sense of it. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked. In the original Greek, naked means naked. So I don't know what a guy's doing with hooks and nets and slime and all that, but maybe he's getting ready to take a bath out there. I don't know. And did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship. He always wanted to be with Jesus. Last time he walked on the water. This time he cast himself into the sea. I'm going to get there first. I love Peter. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land. But it was, as it were, 200 cubits, dragging the net of fishes. Now look at this scene. I don't picture, and this is just in my mind's eye, I don't picture Jesus Christ smiling much in his ministry. He was a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and I could be wrong. I'm sure there was times. But this is a scene that I picture him smiling. The crucifixion is over. He's been buried. He's resurrected. He's alive. And as soon as they were come to the land, they saw a fire of coals there and fish laid thereon and bread. Here he is. He got his own fish. You know what people have been doing for 2,000 years, whether we do or not? They've been catching fish. One day, we're going to leave this pond. We said we're underwater. We showed you that in our first lesson. One day we're going up through. I wonder if the devil's going to chase us out like Pharaoh's army did through that water, and that invisible thing's going to close up. I don't know, but all I know this, one day we're going to hit the shore. And let's see what he said there. I see him smiling. Get in on the shore lunch here. He said, 10, bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153. How's that for a fishing story? We caught 153. You know how many he caught next time he went fishing? 3,000. Only they were men. That was on the day of Pentecost. And for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. And Jesus saith unto him, and it's where we get the song, come and dine, the Master calleth, come and dine. Hey, one day we're going to get up there. There's going to be a whole bunch of fish already there that they've been catching for 2,000 years. And I wonder if he'll say, bring me the fish which ye have caught. The time for toil and night has come, the last and saddest of the harvest eves. Worn out and weary, drooping and faint, the reapers drag homeward, each laden with sheaves. Now, young people, sheaves is their harvest that they would caught, the wheat, the whatever it was, and they'd carry those things on their back to the threshing floor. Last of the labors, thy feet I gain, Lord of the harvest, my spirit grieves, that I am burdened not so much with grain, but with heaviness of heart and brain. Master, behold my sheaves. Few light and worthless, yet their trifling weight through all my weary frame and aching leaves. For long I struggled with hapless fate and stayed and toiled till dark and late. Yet these are all my sheaves. Full well I know I have more tares than wheat, brambles and stalks and withered leaves. Wherefore I blush and weep as at thy feet. I kneel down reverently and repeat, Master, behold my sheaves. These blossoms clustered heavily with the evening dew upon their folded leaves can claim no value or utility. Therefore shall thy fragrance and beauty be the glory of my sheaves. So do I gather a new strength and hope, for well I know thy patient love perceives not what I did, but what I strove to do. And though the full ripe ears are sadly few, thou will accept my sheaves. Let's all stand. I'm not sure if there's coming a day is in our book, but if I could have a pianist just come and play that. If we could have every head bowed and every eye closed, I just want to have a little moment here of prayer. And I just ask you this question, are you in the boat? Are you 100% sure that if you died today, heaven would be your home? Are you 100% sure today that if you died, you could stand before God with all confidence, not because of a lifestyle, but because you can go back to a time and a specific place in your life when the Holy Spirit spoke to your heart, you acknowledged yourself a sinner and Him the Savior? If you are not if you are 100% sure with no one looking around, every eye closed, would you raise your hand as a testimony to the Lord? Yes, 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 I'm in. Is there anyone in a room this big that would say, Preacher, I'm not sure, pray for me. All I want to do is pray for you. I want to pray for you that the Lord would help you to understand the greatest gift one could ever receive. It's a great deal. I won't call you by name. I won't come to you. I won't call you out. I won't embarrass you. I just want to pray a general prayer. If you're not sure you're going to heaven when you die, would you slip your hand up and down real quick so I can see it? Thank you. I see that hand. Is there another hand? A young hand over here. Anyone else? Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, God, for the simplicity of salvation. Thank you that 28 years ago I got in. Thank you, Lord, as I look out in this room, that 4,700 cumulative years and we've not even started the good part. Help us to fish by the rules. Help us to be open. Help us to create, be creative. Help us to find some gleanings in these last days. We look forward. We know it's all about you, Lord. That one day we'll present. Paul said this. He said, ye are our joy and glory and crown of rejoicing at the coming. Pray for all those souls that trusted you this week. Pray for this week at this Monroe County Fair that we might get more. Pray for this soul that raised their hand that they'd realize today they could get in free. Free. No strings attached. A humble heart and a belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. In His name we pray. Amen.